Is he coming? I'm right on you, Bill. I may always leave it to the last minute, don't I? Right, that's it. I think we've got everyone here now. Right, the next item on the agenda is the Somerset Council's Rights of Way Public Path Order Policy Consultation. Without further ado, I don't think he needs introduction, but he might do to some of you. I would like to introduce Pete Hopley to take us through this item. Over to you, Pete.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, there are some new faces, so good afternoon all. I'm Pete Hobley. I'm the Rights of Way Service Manager. The report for today's item is on page 41.
Can everyone hear, Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. Report's on page 41. A note of apologies to members that appendices 2 and 5, which should have shown track changes in the conversion from Word format to PDF. Unfortunately, those track changes have been lost, but I don't see that as a bad thing in the sense that they are quite difficult to read when they are track change documents. So what I will present to you today is the clean version, which is Appendix 3, which is on page 59. Probably just be worth giving a bit of background as to how changes to rights of way can be made in terms of stopping up or diversion. The main two acts are the Highways Act and the Town and Country Planning Act, and local authorities have powers under both acts to stop up or divert rights of way. Highways Act is generally in the interest of the landowner or the public, or can be both. And the Town and Country Planning Act, as the name might suggest, is when it's in the interest of enabling development to take place. In the main, the County Council makes orders under the Highways Act, and occasionally under the Town and Country Planning Act in relation to minerals and waste and other county-related planning applications. In the case of the district councils, they generally make orders under the Town and Country Planning Act in relation to their planning applications that they grant permission for. That's just to give you a bit of background. The County Council has had its own Highways Act diversion policy, which can be found on page 47 of your report pack. And that was a policy that was developed in 2007 off the back of the Rights of Way Improvement Plan. That improvement plan identified there was a need for greater consistency in terms of how the council made orders under the Highways Act, as well as how we responded to district councils in relation to their Town and Country Planning Act orders. And it's been a very useful policy. It stood the test of time well, and it's ensured consistency in terms of our order making at the County Council. With the local government reorganisation coming along in April, it was identified that and discussed with each of the districts the way forward in terms of rights of way diversion function once we are a unitary council. And it was unanimously agreed that it would make sense that the development related diversions that currently are performed by the district councils come under the Rights of Way Service currently at the County Council. To enable that function to happen, a number of products were identified that needed to take place, one of them being a review of the Rights of Way Diversion Policy. None of the district councils currently have a diversion policy in relation to their order making. So that is what this consultation is about today. It's about a revised diversion policy the new unitary council. I shall now share my screen. Can find the right document, just bear with me. Not showing on my There it is. Okay. So I'll try and take you through the report, but this is the actual revised policy, with, and I'll be highlighting the changes as we go through it, just to make you aware of the main changes. So the one at the top, which is highlighted, that is cross-reference to the report paragraph 2.4. And it's mainly highlighting that the title of the policy has changed from diversion policy to a public path order policy. It's just more of an umbrella term to cover stopping up and diversion. And also the sections of the Acts have increased, as well as the, it's inclusive of the Town and Country Planning Act, to cover all sections that may, where a public path order may be made. That's that change to the policy. If we move on to the next one, report paragraph 2.6. These are insertions that introduce new sections regarding the Town and Country Planning Act diversions. These very much echo paragraphs within the DEFRA Circular 109, which relates to rights of way statutory guidance. It just clarifies that the granting of planning permission in itself does not allow developers to obstruct a public right of way. So I think that's, that is updating the policy in relation to Town and Country Planning Act diversion orders and stopping up orders. Moving on to the next change, report paragraph 2.9. So this is in relation to shared bridges. So we quite often come across bridges that are already in existence, or where a landowner might want to construct a bridge that will be shared with public use as well as private vehicular use. So this is to cover off that scenario, and it's a situation that we try and avoid wherever possible, because there's quite often there's a lack of clarity as to whose ultimate responsibility that structure is. So if we can have separate structures, it provides that greater clarity. But on occasions, there may be pragmatism in sharing an asset with a private rights holder or holders. And in those situations, you know, we'd be you know, keen to ensure that that is controlled through a legal agreement. So there's absolute clarity as to whose responsibility the long-term maintenance of that is. This paragraph may be expanded slightly before the actual decision on the policy is made, just to cover not just bridges, but also shared routes. So in terms of the actual path surface, so in terms of private driveways or private roads, they obviously, the wear and tear on those routes will be primarily from the private use with motor vehicles, as opposed to the actual public use. So again, we'd want to seek to have legal agreements in place in relation to diversion routes that go over private routes that are subject to private rights of way, that may also be subject to a public right of way if diverted onto. Moving on to the next section, this is around where there is an interface of a diverted route with new estate roads, so very much in relation to new developments. So it's just to ensure that that interface is controlled through the proper processes with development control colleagues. Moving on to the next one, this is report paragraph 2.11. So those two paragraphs there in the new revised policy, it's just to give a bit more clarity and future proofing around the decision making in terms of whether the criteria of the policy have been met, and also when objections have been received at the consultation phase, is it the decision as to whether to make an order or not. Moving on to the next change in the policy is an introduction of an actual prioritisation. This is report paragraph 2.12. At the moment, we don't have a priority system. We have a small backlog of applications that we manage their priority relatively well. But obviously, with all the powers coming under the new council and under one service, probably the greater need to have a priority approach in place. So in the terms set out there, that the top priority would be any rail crossing diversion and extinguishment applications, and any other applications where they may address issues of endangerment to life or harm. Priority after that would be applications to divert and stop up rights of way to enable development under the Town and Country Planning Act. And then finally, it'd be all other public path road applications, primarily under the Highways Act there. And then within that, priority would be given to those that resolve significant obstructions or Section 130A notices that we may receive in relation to removal of obstructions and anything that may cause resolve an issue causing significant inconvenience and any that might be linked to the modification order process. And those applications which have regular usable alternative routes already in place will be of a lower priority. Much of that has stayed the same, apart from just to highlight in terms of charges. This is not necessarily an exhaustive list, but examples of where we may defray part charges for the services provided. So where a diversion proposal application may resolve a definitive map anomaly, including where development has taken place by a previous landowner, then previously the policy said we'd defray up to 50%. The proposal now is that this could be up to 100%, because we have experienced the course of the last 15 odd years, the odd occasion where a landowner has inherited a situation that is truly no fault of their own and can actually be at the fault of one of the authorities in a capacity as either highway authority, surveying authority, housing authority, or other functions. So it's just to recognise there are situations where we need to correct the potential wrongs of the past, or have consideration to applicants where they, through no fault of their own, are at a disadvantage. And I think that is the main changes that are being proposed as part of the policy. So it's trying to bring all those powers together under one policy, ready in time for the new Unitary Council. Just turning to the other parts of the report in terms of the consultation so far. So we have consulted with district councils and we have had positive comments back or no comments at all received. So in that respect, all good. And we've also consulted the Local Access Forum back in October last year. And they were supportive of the policy. They would have liked us to have been more assertive in relation to the shared bridges aspect, but it's not always possible to, or pragmatic to, always have a separate structure to a private landowner structure in terms of it could be expense in terms of having two parallel structures, or in terms of the consenting process for structures over watercourses. So that is why their comments haven't resulted in an amendment per se, but it still says that wherever possible, we'll try to separate the public use from any shared use on bridges as a result of a diversion order. So I think in conclusion, this is consultation on the proposed revised policy to seek views of the regulation committee, because diversions are potentially a matter that could come before the committee for a decision on. It's quite rare, I have to say, but it is a scenario that could happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that, Pete. Andrew, did you want to add? You're quite happy. Thank you. Right. I've got no one who wished to speak from any objectors. So I will go straight on to members of the committee who may wish to speak. And I realise, you know, this is a very complex sort of a set of papers in front of you. And our main aim is to support this moving forward where we see fit, so that there is a uniform approach within the new authority. And I see Peter nodding that for all the I will call it the planning areas or the old district areas to approach at this moment in time. Is that I know that's sort of doing a slight sort of sum up beforehand, but it's not stopping members, you know, making any comments on it now. But I would ask members, please, not to just talk on it, you know, for the sake of talking, but, you know, please raise any issues you feel fit to do so. And after members have spoke here, I will go online to any members who are not members of this committee who may wish to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Quick question, really. Will this and this new process, will it help to speed up the processing of stopping up orders? I ask the question because I've had one running for 5 years now and on my old ward, and I just, it seems to be, I know it's a long process, it's a legalistic process, but is, will this in help to speed that up?
So that one, Pete?
I can. I don't know the case in point, so I can't answer on the specifics, but in terms of our resources available, the policy itself won't affect the resources available. In terms of seeking additional resource, that will be part of the transformation phase as we enter into Unitary Council. And as and when the Infrastructure and Transport Director is appointed, that hopefully is a discussion I'll be having with them to ensure that we have sufficient resource to deal with the level of applications that we will be dealing with, because we are taking on effectively applications from the district councils as well. So what we don't want to do is, you know, increase the workload but not have the resource in place to deal with it.
Thank you, Chair.
Michael?
hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Good. Chair, what is the mechanism for granting a stopping up or diversion of a footpath or right of way? I'm a bit unsure myself about the mechanism. Would it be officer delegated to officers? And at what point would councillors be able to not say intervene isn't really the right word, but in the way that things are passed to regulation or planning board, is there any possibility that if a ward councillor objected to an officer decision to stop up a path or divert it, have they got any say in the matter? And what would that form, would that take place?
Could I ask you to speak to the officer outside of this meeting on that one? Because obviously, not obviously, it's possible that you may have something particular in mind, but there is a mechanism of going forward. And Peter, just in about no more than a minute, just outline, please. Or Andrew.
Yeah, the situation as proposed, I believe, is if an application is exceptional, and that's a discussion between the service director and the chairman of the proposed strategic planning committee, then that would be considered before the committee powers. If the application is not exceptional, then it would be delegated powers to officers.
Can you just define exceptional?
I believe the current phrasing is in relation to the magnitude, scale and impact of the application.
Okay, thank you for that, Peter. Mike, could you turn off your microphone, please? Thank you very much. Right, has any other members got anything they want? I'm looking around the room, and I'm not going to double back on myself. Right. I've asked the officer to answer any points there. Right, I'm going to invite anybody who's online who may want to speak on this application. Is there anybody online who would like to? No?
No,
that's fine then. Peter's answered the points raised. As I said, and Peter agreed, I've more or less done my sort of little bit of summing up before. It's to have something in uniform in place for all the areas moving forward. And the recommendation in front of you is on page 45. And it is recommended that the Regulation Committee provide their support for the proposed changes to the diversion policy.
So proposed, Chair.
Can I have a seconder? Seconded Andy Kendall. No other proposals. Do you want a vote, Neil? Just a show of hands would be acceptable for this one. So can I have a show at those in favour, please?
That's unanimous.
Unanimous, so I don't need to ask for those. Thank you for that, Pete. Now, on to the next item. The briefing to the Somerset Planning Committee's Statement of Community Involvement in the
consultation.
The consultation. And as you will point out with this one, for those of you that have been involved in it over the years, it involves the local plan and a lot of work. So I would hand straight over to Andrew to say his piece.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. Yes, I'm Andrew Gunn, Principal Planning Officer in the policy team here at the County dealing with minerals and waste matters. I've been asked to present this item on the Statement of Community Involvement. I know some members and particularly are aware of these documents that all the districts have and the County Council, but as obviously part of the LGR programme and becoming a unitary, one single document is being produced. I must give a shout out here to my colleague Ellie, who had worked on the draft, unfortunately can't be here today. Well, not unfortunately for her, because she's on holiday, but she did a lot of work on the draft, so I can't claim any credit for that. As the chairman has just said, there is a consultation on this document. It actually went out, started last Thursday. It's for 6 weeks, so it runs till the March the 16th. So basically what it is it sets out how the authority will engage and consult with community and stakeholders on various planning matters, key ones principally being plan making and development control and dealing with planning applications, appeals, etc. The document sets out the legislative requirements for that and what communities will be involved in various stages of applications and local plan making. So the reason for bringing this to you today is that this is being presented to all the committees across the districts and the County Council, either to gain any views you may have, want to make as a regulation committee, but obviously you're more than welcome individually as members or even just members of the public to comment on an aspect of that. As I say, that runs till the middle of March. Once that's expired, obviously all those comments will be taken into account, and obviously any appropriate adjustments, revisions made to that document. It is online now, and obviously comments are welcomed at any time during the next 5 weeks. I think that's it, Chair. I don't think there's much more to add on that at this stage. So if there's any, as I say, either through yourself, if there's any views, comments that the committee would like to make, then please do fire ahead.
Thank you for that, Andrew. I mean, you'll be pleased to hear there's no request to speak from any objectors. So it will be straight over to committee members, and I will ask Councillor Coles. He's got a question that he would like to ask, please.
Thank you, Chair. Andrew, good afternoon to you. Spoiled for choice. It's just a very swift question. It's how are we advertising this to members of the public? I realise that the local authorities, the old districts, will have been consulted on this and will be part of that process, but I'm interested in how we get the community to respond, either individually or with community groups.
Thank you, Chair. As far as I'm aware, I've been involved in sort of putting together the statutory consultees and notifying all the parish and town councils. It's on the council's website. Beyond that, I don't think it's gone any further beyond that. I think mainly because statutorily, we don't have to actually consult on this. We do need to produce it, but we don't need to statutorily consult on it. So beyond, I don't know if parishes will put a notice on their board, put it on their own individual websites and things like that. We've got it, the council got it on our website. We hope that all the districts would put it on their websites. So I think that's as far as they've gone at the moment. If members think it should, if there's any other way to broaden it further, we'd obviously hope to hear that and we can get it out to anyone else who may want to comment on it. But I think that's as far given reasonable time constraints, and that's how it's been presented at the moment.
Chair.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Andrew, this is just a draft statement at the moment. Once the draft statement is period is over with and they start going on the formal thing with the local plan, there are usually, if I can remember, and other members here who've been members of districts will verify, there are many meetings and consultations which are held with different organisations, groups and everything as time moves on to formulate the plan moving forward. Yeah, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Certainly plan making is a very complicated process. The government obviously looking at the moment about how we change that system going forward. So we'll wait to hear how that may develop. And as you know, with dealing with planning applications, it's quite a clear process to follow about consultation, notification and so on. Thank you.
Are there any, Martin?
Griffin, just to say, this is a setting up the consultation for the preparation of a Somerset-wide plan. Is that the general gist of the paper? And if that is the case, obviously it's going to be a fairly long-running process, because am I right in thinking that the district plans, local plans, which run for different periods of time, for ours is 2028, I think, Chairman, if I'm right. So presumably this is just laying the grounds to prepare for that when all the plans come together.
Overarching.
Will they go out at the same day, or will they be allowed to run for their full period? So there's different plans finishing at different times, or are we going to have the plans cancelled so that we start the new one all at the same time? Sorry, that was a bit long-winded. Sorry, Chairman, but...
Thank you, Chair. I think I got the gist. current range of district plans and the minimum wage plans will run as they are at the moment, and those will be referred to for the current time, as and when the new Somerset plan comes forward. We're obviously waiting to hear, because at the moment as well, members are obviously aware that the minerals and waste plans are separate plans to the respective local plans, and we're waiting to hear what decisions made on that, as whether that becomes one plan or retains a separate plans. But you're right, yeah, so the important thing is this statement of community involvement, we geared up for when the new authority comes to make the new plan, and obviously in dealing with planning applications, it sets out how that will be done. Thank you, Chair.
Looking around the room, any other comments? I don't see any hands. That's fine. I don't think I need to sum up on this one. We know it's a draft document, and it's going to, once it gets into the full consultation process, it's going to be a lot of work for those involved in it, with the officers and all the areas and the consultations which have to go on to formulate the plan. And I don't think I need to ask Andrew to clarify any more points, because he's answered them as we've gone through. And I know Joe doesn't want to speak on this because it's just asking us our views on the consultation. We all know how we can feed into it as a group or as individuals, and that won't be any different moving forward. I don't think there's any more to really say on this. On taking the documents forward, but I've reminded you that you can respond. You know you can respond to it in whatever shape or form, by attending consultation meetings, emails or everything else. And with that in mind, I would just like to thank the officers, or Andrew rather, for his presentation on this and keeping us up to date with what's moving forward. As with the report before it, it is important moving forward that we have a uniform approach with the new authority, and that everything is, I will say, singing from the same song sheet, so to speak, so it's in tune and everything else. And, you know, at this moment in time, that's all we can do. Sorry, Martin, did you have any comment you want to make? It takes a long time to sort out for those who've been involved before. Is of urgency. that we have to do. I don't think I've missed anything. Have I, Fiona, on my sheets here? Oh, thumbs up. So that's good from that point of view. I would just like to thank everyone for coming to this meeting this afternoon. It's I would like to ask officers who to remain after the meeting to update members.